We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley.
Oh, dirty.
It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, dirty. I'm jumping off early here. It's a false start here to start this up. But I'm telling you.
Pull old Laramie Thompson. Be careful, man. Now. Hey, look here.
They'll run my ass out of here.
Laramie. They'll be able to run your ass up out of here. It don't matter if you're the best man in town. They'll run you up out of here.
Hey,
now.
Man. You know, one thing that I think we all discussed when we were putting this show together is, man, we're going to be just honest with what we see every day and what we're talking about. And, Clint, last night, Dusty Baker was just awful. He was just awful. It's one game. You're still in first place. The sky has not fallen. But last night, Dusty Baker was awful. And in particularly, it seemed like he had a struggle with the new rules. Extra inning rules. If you're not familiar with those rules, in the extra innings to move things along faster, you automatically have the previous person who made the last out starts on second base, so you automatically get a runner at second in extra innings. And three times in the 10th, 11th, and 12th innings, Dusty Baker had a chance to win the game with runners on base, opportunities to get a runner to third base with less than two outs to just win the game, and he didn't take those opportunities, and they weren't able to execute, and they ultimately lost 4-2 in 13 innings.
Yeah, and show to me that the biggest part of this that's a hang up for me is that, yes, it's a new rule, but it should be something that there has been a discussed plan to how you're going to attack that particular moment. You know you're going to be tied, obviously, right? Or you could be down if you're in the bottom of the inning, but you know that you're going to start the inning with a runner on. I don't give a dang who the runner is. You're starting the game with a runner on second base and no outs in the inning. And to not have a plan.
Didn't seem like that one.
At all. It didn't seem like it.
They just didn't do nothing.
I mean,
it
should have been discussed thoroughly at this point, and there should have been a plan. It should have been a very clear-cut plan, and it appeared last night that there was no plan in place from the time that you watched it unfold three consecutive times. Again, regardless of who was on first, not getting into the details yet of who was batting and who was on second, not getting into the details of whether they were down one in the 11th inning or they were tied in the 10th and the 12th and 13th inning, regardless of what that situation was, the rule change was made. It's very obvious for a month now. Maybe it hadn't been a month. Manfred did drag his feet a little bit.
But it's a
couple of weeks.
You knew you had time.
You had time to have a plan, and the simple fact that you didn't have a plan is not a good look, Dusty. It is not a good look at all.
No, and this is him specifically. This is Dusty himself talking about the bunting, the reason why he didn't. But you could argue he should have bunted at least three of those innings. There are arguments that he should have looked at the numbers and bunted three different times in the 10th, 11th, and 12th. This was Dusty in speaking about where he was thinking in terms of not bunting.
Dusty, did you think about bunting with Toro after Correa tied the game in the 11th?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, with the hitters that we have here, I mean, who's up against Floro? Was it Altuve? You know, he wasn't up there to bunt it. No, I didn't think about that. You know, they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about the bunting. And like, we look at the 10th, Kyle Tucker's up, man. And like, Kyle Tucker comes in, he's got to be able to bunt. Kyle Tucker is in with a runner on second base, with a runner on second base, and Altuve behind you, no outs. Kyle Tucker's got a bunt. Kyle, man, I like to me, like we talked about small ball, right? And we went in and about, and everybody went in and about George Springer in the sixth inning bunting, squeeze bunting with someone on third. This is completely different. This is Kyle Tucker with Altuve, Brantley, and Bregman coming behind him. No outs, bunt. That if you cannot bunt, Kyle, I don't know why you're here.
Sure, I'll argue. I don't give a damn who's batting and who's on second. If getting a runner to third with one out and having this lineup, you should be able to push a run across the plate.
With the key of a run wins the game. Like, that's all you need. Like, it's not just a run wins the game. So
it's again, to the audio that you mentioned, play that one more time, Tyler. Can you play that one more time? This is Dusty Baker after the game yesterday when asked about the bunting situation in the extra innings, the new rule that's applied in the extra innings.
Dusty, did you think about bunting with Toro after Correa tied the game in the 11th?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, with the hitters that we have here, I mean, who's up against Floro? Was it Altuve? You know, he wasn't up there to bunt it. No, I didn't think about that. You know, they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. Nobody bunt. There was a severe lack of a plan in place before this situation happened, Show. And when you dig off into whether or not they should have bunted in the situations like you just specifically brought up with Toro. Would you say Toro was at the plate?
Toro was at the plate. Toro was at the plate first and second, nobody out. After you just tied the game, Los stepped up once again and just doing Los things, and he tied the game up, runners on first and second, nobody out. And you pinch hit for Josh Reddick, I mean, obviously, but you pinch hit for Josh Reddick, and then
they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
What is the reasoning to not get runners on second and third with nobody or with one out? I don't understand that maneuver.
Yeah, I don't understand the maneuver. I don't give a damn if Yuli's up there batting. I don't care if Springer from 2017 is up there batting. It doesn't matter. You got to move the run to third base. And that has to be the plan, Show. There's no excuse. That has to be the plan. I know we want to get off into the details of it, but that has to be the plan, is to move a runner to third base have one out.
Have one, Clint. Have a plan. Like, I can't even say he made bad decisions because he didn't even make a decision.
They didn't bunt. He didn't just bunt. You know, nobody bunt.
Well, it's not just so we've established that the lack of a plan and the new rule, just simply the combination of those two things, a new rule, no plan, That's a major problem. But as you really dissect what the hell we watched, you just said it at one point, right? Altuve's up, and he's not even trying to push the ball to right field.
No, he's just going up.
He's swinging out of his cleats.
Just swinging for the fences.
I mean, it's not only a lack of a plan, like the awareness by the manager is a problem, and the awareness by the players in Altuve is a problem. I know it's easy for us to sit around here because the Astros have been so great and go, well, man, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't hit a bomb in that situation and in the game. Yeah, I mean, I get it, man. But you got to be, at this point in time, the big three in the lineup last night, when you talk about Springer, Bregman, and Altuve, they were 0 for 11. I mean, at some point in time, you got to realize, like, hey, man, it ain't our day. We got to manufacture some runs here. And so when you talk about just the mindset of the guys that were trying to execute in these moments, it from top down, from the manager all the way down, Show, it just wasn't there.
Clint Sterner and the Show here with you right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Right now we're discussing, man, Dusty was awful last night, particularly with the new rules and his just lack of a game plan. There's one thing, though, me and you kind of disagree on, and that is – that is in the 11th when he pinch ran for Michael Brantley. And you have a problem with him bringing in – who is that? Who's that kid's name? What's that kid's
Mayfield.
Name? Mayfield. Yeah, Dusty, whatever Mayfield.
Is it Baker. Jack Mayfield?
Is it Baker?
I think it's Jake Mayfield. Jake or Jake.
Jake or Baker.
Yeah, hell yeah, I got a problem with it. You don't pull it. Now, look, to me, you don't do this if you did have a plan. It's criminal when you don't have a plan. So if it's double whammy, the fact that you pulled the best hitter in the lineup in Michael Brantley, the hottest hitter in the lineup in Michael Brantley, to pinch run knowing that he couldn't be put back in the game. And I'll be damned if that didn't come back to bite you in the ass a couple of times, I believe. moving forward when Mayfield's up with runners in scoring position, and you got Brantley, you got Mayfield taking the plate, stepping in the batter's box instead of my man Michael Brantley.
I disagree with you on that one. I disagree with you on the Brantley. Like he fouled up a lot. That one to me didn't. If you remember, they come into that inning down as the Dodgers took the lead. They come in the inning down by one, and Brantley made the last out in the previous inning, so Brantley is supposed to lead off. They put in Mayfield, who's a faster player than Brantley. Like, I don't worry about Brantley coming up again. In my mind, I don't know. You got to tie the game. Like, it don't matter. If you don't score that run, Brantley coming up nine batters later doesn't matter. Like, I got to tie the game. My issue is, I don't have a problem with Baker. I think that was the right move to get a faster runner in to give you a better chance to score the run is. My thing is, but use it. Use it. Do everything you can to win the game at that moment. And in that moment, he got Baker. I can call that kid Baker Mayfield. He got Jack Mayfield around to score, and then he has runners on first and second with nobody out, and then just all of a sudden says, oh, I'm a pinch hit for Reddick and just let Toro hit away. Instead of bunting to then continue to get the run to come home. No, I don't have a problem with it. The Mayfield thing, that to me was the right move.
I just can't
worry about Brantley coming up again.
I disagree. When I first heard about, you don't worry about it until what happened last night happens, and you got not only now you got Mayfield taking a plate with a situation where I don't remember if it was in the 13th or earlier when they could have either won it or had a chance to tie it up. Brantley should be coming to the plate and Mayfield's coming to the plate. I totally understand the pinch running aspect of it if it's my man Maldonado, right? He's pulling a trailer, right? You got Garneau on the bench. You can put another – I understand that aspect of it. But I need somebody to explain to me how much faster Mayfield is than Brantley.
He is faster, and he gives you a better chance to score.
I'm sure he's a tad bit faster, but what are the odds of Mayfield scoring in that situation and Brantley not scoring? I need to know those things.
Well, he's faster, so the odds.
How much faster is he?
He's faster.
How I understand, but that's like me saying Brantley's faster than Maldonado. I understand he's faster.
But his speed gives you a better chance to tie the game. And you got to tie the game first. That's the first thing that matters.
What is his speed, though? I'm asking you a we're not talking about, like, you. If we talk about.
I can't tell you they're 40 exactly. times. So but you're I'm just telling saying, you. But I'm telling you Mayfield's faster than Brantley. That we do know. Like, we know Mayfield's faster than Brantley.
So Brantley at second base in that situation is a problem. That's not a fast enough runner at second base. We're not talking about Deion Sanders versus Tom Brady here. I mean, what are we talking about is my point.
He's a lot faster. What I'm saying is at that point you have to focus on winning or tying the game and give yourself the best opportunity to tie the game. So on a base hit at second base, Mayfield's got a better chance to score than Brantley, and tagging up at third, he's got a better chance to score.
Here's the deal: tagging up, scoring from second, however in the hell he does it, we better be talking about a 4-2 versus a 4-6 is what we better be talking. God. Then
it's
what
just,
are we?
It's just
you're
a
talking
better
about,
chance.
It's how's it? You're talking about pulling. You got to weigh the risk. You're talking about pulling a player that's batting 400 plus. He's the hottest hitter you've got.
Yeah, and his
you
bat
got to at least weigh the risk.
His bat doesn't come up for nine more batters. Like you gotta put yourself. I'm on fault Dusty for putting his team in the best opportunity to tie the game.
I totally do. I don't think Brantley's speed in that situation is a problem.
Oh God, we are off and rolling today.
Could you imagine if Mayfield's at second and somebody singles and Pettis runs his ass through third base and he gets thrown out at the plate in that situation?
That's okay.
No, it ain't.
He gives you a much better chance to win the game.
If it's even remotely close in that situation, no outs, runner on second. If it's even remotely close at home plate and you get thrown out at home plate, Gary Pettis' his extension should be jerked.
All right, let's keep this going because you're not done and I'm not done. Go ahead, 713-572-4610. Come in. Do you have a problem with Dusty Baker taking out Michael Brantley and putting in Mayfield because he's trying to win the game? We'll get into that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, yeah, it's hot and heavy. Text line is going in. We'll take some calls on this, Tyler. Get you set up, 713-572-4610. A place where we disagree. One place we agree is Dusty was awful last night. All right, Dusty Baker, he failed at his job as a manager to put his team in the best chance to win. Doesn't mean the season's over. They're still in first place. Doesn't mean he'll do this every night, but he had a bad night, you know, like A.J. Hinch did, as Gerrit Cole is still sitting in the bullpen from Game 7. So, I mean, managers have bad nights. But a place where we really disagree on is in I believe, the 11th inning, where Michael Brantley hit into a double play to end the 10th. Now, by the new rule in extra innings, you automatically start with the previous player who made the last out goes to second base to start the next inning. All right? And that point, the Astros were trailing by a run. They're trailing by a run. So Dusty pulls Mayfield and pulls Brantley and puts Mayfield into the game to pinch run. Clint has an issue with that because obviously Brantley right now is the best hitter on the team, best average, the guy who is hitting the ball consistently better than anyone else. They take him out of the game. Clint's like, you can't take that bat out of the lineup. My argument is, you can't be thinking about his bat down the line of the lineup. You got to try to tie the game or win the game right then and there. Actually, you got to try to tie the game right then and there so it continues, because if you don't get that run home, his at bat doesn't matter. So I have no problem with Dusty pulling Brantley and putting Mayfield in, because Mayfield is a faster player than he is, and it gives you a better chance to score, to tie the game. Where are you at? We'll see. And I'm guessing during that commercial break, I did not change your mind on this.
No, just simply saying Mayfield is a faster player, that doesn't, to me, there's more in that decision. Like, I think if you're just simply discussing the rule of how extra innings is going to work in baseball in 2020, you've got, the conversation starts with, hey, are you going to pinch run for the guy that made the last out in the inning before? Are you going to pinch run for that guy, knowing that you can't put that guy back in the game if it continues to go extra innings, if the game doesn't end? It's not like I just pulled this out of left field. It is one of the top two talking points of that particular rule in Major League Baseball this year. Are you going to take a proven bat? Hell, I didn't think it was going to happen with Brantley the first time we had the discussion in Houston. Are you going to take a 400-plus hitter, arguably the hottest hitter, I don't know if it's arguably, the hottest hitter in the Astros right now, one of the hottest hitters in Major League Baseball, that is not a slow play. It's not Maldonado. We're not talking about a guy that's pulling a trailer around the bases when he's running. We're talking about an outfielder. He has plenty of speed to play in the outfield at the major league level. He has plenty of speed to have doubles galore. Speed is never a problem, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's no-brainer, pull him out of the game. And it ended up biting the Astros in the ass in this game because you didn't have that hot bat at the plate when you had an opportunity to win the game. So it's a legitimate debate, first of all, but I just don't know how you make that decision based off of, well, Mayfield's just faster.
713-572-4610. Where are you? Where are you? On my side, or are you on Clint's side in terms of, did you have an issue with Dusty Baker pulling Michael Brantley in favor of Jake Mayfield? Jake Mayfield didn't know you were going to be the product of this. This from the
Jack Mayfield, and he's Del Rio, Texas. Del Rio, Texas product, by the way. I went hunting. The only time I've ever been deer hunting in my life was down there, and it was so miserable I ain't been back.
I hope he doesn't have to ever get a start, so I have to figure out something with him with the lineup.
I'm just telling you this. Somebody better call in and tell me this dude's 4-2 or something.
We'll get to him. He's faster. He just gives you a better chance. Here's from the text line, and people are on both sides. From the 281, Dirty Red, bruh. Show is right. Put Mayfield on second. We ain't talking about speed. We're just trying to win the game. And from on your side, from the 832, yes, Brantley should have never been pulled. Brantley's bat is 1,000% better, and the speed difference, in my opinion, is not enough to pull him out to make a huge difference.
Well, look, it's like, who's the other cat? Who's the other cat? The other fast cat that I was dead ass wrong on?
Straw
dog, right? Okay, if it's Straw Dog and you want to come at me and go, man, this guy's – like, I've had people hit me up that are in the training world that know Straw Dog and say, man, this dude's got this in the 60. I mean, this dude's Olympic speed. Like, it's stupid.
His only hit last night was because of his speed.
Right. Speaking of that, now if it's that, oh, okay. Now we're talking. Now we're talking 4-2 versus 4-6. Okay, I get it. But to me, the conversation about pinch running and eliminating Brantley from the rest of the game, it's not a no-brainer. He's faster. How much faster is this guy?
But I just don't know how you're thinking of the rest of the game when you're down.
What do you mean? I don't know how
you got to tie it.
That's what happened.
That's what it's about, man. You got to tie it.
And that's my point, is Brantley would have been just fine with his apparently not enough speed. He would have been just fine. He would have scored the run exactly the way Mayfield did, and he would have been in the game later in the game to help you possibly win it when it was tied.
Yes, the scenario, it's easy afterwards to check the scenario.
Sure, hindsight's 20-20.
The scenario could have gone a different way to where it wasn't as easier. You needed the best speed for him to score. We'll hit the phone line, 713-572-4610. Troy in Fort Worth. Go ahead, Troy.
Funky town.
Guys, yeah, y'all ain't even talking about the right things right here. And let me tell you why. Who cares what Mayfield was going to do? Who cares what Dusty Baker did? Your top of the lineup is so trash right now. This must be one of the best lineups in all of baseball, and they can't even get on base. I mean, we're talking about something that happened in extra innings when this game should have gone to extra innings.
But it did, Troy. It did go to extra innings.
But who cares what it did when you're supposed to have – you have rookie pitchers pitching their ass off for what? Your guys to shrivel up because they can't freaking take the pressure of the media? And I guarantee you that's what it is. I mean, I had so much hope for these guys to come in and shut everybody up, and then they're just buckling. You got
six
the middle
games
lineup
in.
Doing good. Yeah, six games in, but – it's just pathetic, guys. I mean, listen.
Troy, you're right. Don't buck up, Troy. You're right.
You're right.
They were 0 for 11,
man. I appreciate it. I love the emotion for Troy.
This is
even fifth in the league in scoring runs.
This is even more.
Game against the Mariners.
This is even more of a reason for me. That's even more of a reason to have a plan when you get a guy on second base and bunt. I don't give a damn if it's Springer. I don't care if it's Altuve. I don't care if it's Bregman. Bunt the guy to third base. Be aware of what in the hell's going on. Be aware of what's going on and how cold the big bats in your, other than the one you pulled out, you pinch ran for. Realize how cold the big bats are in your lineup and have a plan. So whether we're talking about the lack of a plan from Dusty, the lack of execution and a plan from the players, or the pinch hitting for Brantley, it's all a part of an epic failure last night that involved the rules in extra innings.
He had a ton of failures last night. That one was not one of them. His execution afterwards, after he put him in, was one of them. Case in Northside. Go ahead, Case. If I can get to you. Go ahead, Case.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. So it was definitely the wrong call putting Mayfield in. I mean, granted, Mayfield is slightly faster than Brantley. Brantley's a little hobbled when old man child tripped him the other day, but the difference isn't enough. And yeah, you got to tie. That means you got to put some batters up to win, which means your lineup's going to turn over most likely. So yeah, you can't put guy that's going to fan at 88 mile an hour change ups in for your best hitter.
I appreciate the call, Case. To me, it's like in football, when people start saying, "Oh man, they can score a touchdown," and hey, let's start running the clock down at the end of the game, and we're inside the 20. They should start running the clock down so they don't leave the other team time to score. No, man, you got to score. You have to score to tie or win the game. Like, you got to score. I'm using the football analogy at the end of a game. When a team is down by five, and it's like, oh, we're gonna try to manage this clock so we don't score right. No, you got to score. You got to tie. That's the number one objective, and the number one objective is to put your team in the best place. My man Case just said, yeah, Brantley was slightly hobbled, and Mayfield's faster, but you don't put him in, huh? You're down. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you got to give your – to hell with when Brantley comes up again.
Now it's just repeat myself. I mean, the point of Mayfield being faster – the point of Mayfield being faster than Brantley, okay.
That's not – the point is he gives you
no,
the
he
better
how,
chance.
How? What is that better chance?
Faster.
How do you know that?
How do I know Mayfield's faster?
Yes, give me something.
I've seen them run. I know he's faster. You just said in the first segment Mayfield's faster.
I understand. I don't know. I've never seen Mayfield. I don't doubt that the reason Mayfield was put in there was because he can outrun Brantley. I don't doubt that. But you're talking about it like this guy's got 40 stolen bases. And the speed, no matter what happened, he was crossing home plate.
I think what Clint's saying is, could Brantley have done what Mayfield did?
He could have. What Mayfield did, scored from third. Yes, he could have. But you don't manage ahead of time thinking that it's going to go that way. You manage in a place of, who gives me the best opportunity to tie this game? The faster player does, right? Because...
It's all relative. Just saying the faster player does is not that. Like if you tell me it's Miles Straw and I've got 15 people telling me he's got Olympic speed, and he's a 4.240. Okay, I get that.
I'm telling you, you just are not accepting it. He's a faster player.
You saying he's a faster player with no facts behind it other than he may beat him in the 40 by one step or 10 steps. What is it? Like, that's my point. I need something to grab onto.
I can't give you nothing else to grab onto if I tell you that he's faster.
How do you know he's faster?
Because he is.
I'm asking you. How do you know?
I've seen the two of them run. I watched him run around the bases just like I watched Brantley run around the bases. He's faster than
And you
than
think
Brantley.
There was enough of an advantage to put Mayfield in there and pull a 430-plus hitter out?
You can't play around with it. It's an advantage.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
You damn sure don't make the decision saying, oh, I gotta make this decision because Brantley's bat's coming back nine batters away.
So with the extra inning rule, the way the extra inning rule is set up, you just say, to hell with it, I'm going to pinch hit my fastest runner, you go to second immediately.
If it makes sense. And that made sense.
If it's a faster runner, if it's a faster runner, why does it not make sense?
What are you talking about?
With the rule the way it is, where in extra innings you start with a runner on second base. By your logic, you just put the fastest runner on second base because he ups the chances of you scoring that run. Regardless of who's out there, you just put the fastest guy out there.
If it's Michael Brantley and I have a player on the bench that is faster than Michael Brantley and gives me a better chance to get that run home to tie it, yes, I make the move.
I
make the move. The NFL Top 100 list is a joke, and there is a player that is near and dear to Houston's heart that will prove why it's a joke. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
The NFL Top 100, they concluded their list last night, and... It's silly. There's so many weird things. Like Carson Wentz isn't in the list, but Josh Allen is. And like we talked about it the other day that Jadeveon Clowney is and Jimmy Garoppolo and Mark Ingram are thought of to be players ahead of J.J. Watt. It's flawed. But there's one player that you all know very, very well here in Houston that really, really shows how flawed it is. And that's DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is voted at number 8, which is preposterous, in my opinion. He is a great player. But if you look at the entirety of the list, Clint, it is obvious that they are weighing the best players from last year. Because if they were just saying the best player, well, there's no way in hell that Lamar Jackson would have been number 1 overall. Last year, it would make sense that he was the best player. Patrick Mahomes is well thought by everyone as the best player in the National Football League, right? And so with that element of seeing that, nobody in their right mind would think that Jimmy Garoppolo is a better football player than J.J. Watt. It was off of last year. I don't even know if that's true anyway, and I know Clint doesn't believe it is. But I look at DeAndre Hopkins being 8th and voted as the 2nd best receiver in football, that's crazy. Not off of what he did last year. Last year, Clint, he goes 1,100 yards, 11 yards a catch, 7 touchdowns, 104 receptions. Like those numbers, that's a good year for him. It's not one of his great years. It's not one of the years where you say, well, that's a top guy. When you look at Julio Jones, who was outside of the top 10, had almost 1,400 yards, six touchdowns, 14 plus per catch on 14 less catches. Like, come on now. Like, that right there is just, this is just boys voting for boys. And anyone knows, even the hardest Texans fan will tell you, even if you love DeAndre Hopkins, he ain't have no top player, top 10 player of the year type of year last year.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you on this one. I wish I had a little more Jack Mayfield. By the way, married a gal named Jackie. Jack and Jackie. Pretty interesting.
Are you kidding me?
Wish I had a little more Jack Mayfield heat for you, but I don't. DeAndre Hopkins, great player. I'd love to toss the rock around with him. But when it's all said and done, there's so much about this list that's flawed, starting with Jadeveon Clowney being ranked above J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins being in the top 10 of this thing, Lamar Jackson, of all people, being number one. I love Lamar Jackson, but number one ain't it.
I could take it if you were talking about just last year. If you want to say,
I can't even take that. I mean, I like it.
I guess if you include the playoffs, he's got to take a hit down for that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put somebody above Pat Mahomes right now.
Not right
now.
You're right.
I don't give a damn.
You're right.
Couch it however you want to couch it. Pat Mahomes is, bar none, by far and away the most productive, the most feared, the MVP, more of an MVP for his team than anybody in the game. There is zero doubt about it, and there's a large gap between one and two.
If you're wondering the top five, it is Lamar, Russell Wilson, Aaron Donald, Pat Mahomes. That's the top four if you're looking for the top four, because the fifth one has just eluded me in my head.
Michael Thomas,
the receiver.
Which that, to me, that blows my mind. I mean, that when Michael Thomas being in – now, he's going to go get you 13 a game.
Oh, you don't think he should be in
No. That? No, I don't. I think he's a great receiver. I don't think he's the fifth best player in the game.
Mm. Would you put Christian McCaffrey over
absolutely.
Him?
Christian Everything McCaffrey should
do,
be
I
top
could take
five.
That argue. Especially when you look at what he has around him.
Christian McCaffrey should
Kyle
be.
Kyle Allen fella.
Oh, come on. it's not even funny. I mean, Christian McCaffrey should be top five. I'm looking down a list here. Tyreek Hill should be higher than 22. I don't think he's the best receiver in the game, but I think he should be higher than 22.
That's for instance.
Richard Sherman at 28. Get the hell out of here.
No. He can't.
I mean, come on, man. I like Richard Sherman. He's a good player, but 28 right now?
It's over.
Come on, man.
Like Tyreek. Tyreek should not be behind DeAndre Hopkins if you're basing it off of last year. Like, they got the same amount of touchdown passes, and Tyreek missed four games, and he's almost 900 yards.
I would probably have to have a conversation about that one. I can debate about that one. I
17
I could.
Yards a catch. Like, that's a big thing to me, man.
Have you seen, speaking of Tyreek Hill, tell me if this stat is right, Tyler. I saw, what is his average length of touchdown catch?
I don't know. It's probably, his touchdowns are always Chief, generally.
If I'm not mistaken, it's 30, like, it's 35 or 36 yards. That's the length of his touchdown catches. And he had more touchdowns than DeAndre Hopkins last year. Now, not last year. I'm talking about his career. I believe it was his career number. Was his average length of touchdown reception is 35, 36 yards or something like
Generally,
that.
Generally, they are big plays.
But I mean, I think you can take Hopkins, you can take Julio Jones, all the great receivers that we've discussed, and you can now throw Tyreek Hill in that conversation. I think Tyreek Hill has gotten in the conversation where he was not there before of the best receiver in the game. He's in that top five receiver conversation. But we can have it, to me, show you and I could sit here and debate back and forth. I could take Michael Thomas, I could take DeAndre Hopkins, I could take Tyreek Hill, you could take whichever other one you wanted, and we could put a good case together.
Like,
I just don't see how you put a case together for DeAndre Hopkins to be a top 10 player in the league right now.
Can I say something to
it's
you,
sexy right now.
Can I
mean, it's gonna stir the pot right now because Bill O'Brien shipped him out to let him get away to Arizona. It's popular. It's going to stir the pot. It's going to generate conversation. But I can't get down.
And I'm sure I'm probably annoying some people. I could hear Larry throwing his glass of whiskey right now.
Hold on,
Joe. I will not. 713-574-610. Do you believe that DeAndre Hopkins is still a top eight player in the National Football League? See, this is the part that gets me, Clint. Is, man, the last time I saw DeAndre Hopkins, he caught 9 balls for 100 yards against the Chiefs in the divisional round, and it felt like a Carmelo Anthony-esque performance. Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest number compilers I've ever seen. Like, he'll play in games and not really hit big baskets that matter. But at the end of it, you'll look at him and be like, oh, man, Carmelo had 35. 8 rebounds. Like, in that one, that last game against the Chiefs, caught 9 balls over 100 yards. Can you remember a ball that he caught when the game mattered? Can you remember a play that he made where it was like in the when they were on the line, like when the Chiefs were coming back and bam, he stemmed the tide and calmed things down, or what he did to help get the lead to 24-0? I mean, all of his stuff seemed to come at the second half when the thing was over.
Yeah,
like, and that's the last time we saw him. So that adds to it for me. In the biggest game, like, you weren't there when it really, really mattered for your team.
Well, I don't want to couch it like that. I don't want to couch it in a way of a guy not being there for his team. I mean, I do agree with, if you look those stat, when you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins and whether he showed up versus the Kansas City Chiefs, people will throw the stats out there at you. But I'm pretty sure if you look at those numbers, there was quite a few of them in the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand, out of reach, and was there. The game was over.
Just compiling
them. I mean, it was just late game. And look, it's nothing personal to DeAndre Hopkins. It's simply the fact of the matter is, in that game, Kansas City made him a non-factor for the majority of the game, and that's a big problem that I have with the Texans in the offense in the past. Is that you come into a game, you know, I mean, look, 16, 17, 18 opponents last year came into the game versus the Texans and said, first and foremost, we're going to take one guy out of the game. Now, sometimes the Texans were able to counterpunch. Sometimes they weren't. Deshaun Watson was able to put the cape on and go win the game at the end versus Buffalo. And then sometimes they were able to game plan it out enough and still get DeAndre Hopkins his touches. But there's no doubt about it, teams came in and said, we're taking this guy out of the game, and if we can, if we're successful, we know we can win the game. Kansas City did that, and he piled some stats up late in the game that made it an impressive stat game. But I don't know that many of them mattered. We're in crunch time, like you said, to stem the tide or anything like that.
Yeah, Sean Pendergast wanted to pass this note by that he played with broken ribs in the second half.
Turn your little fella into a raging beast.
All right, okay, but I'm just saying, when you combine, sure, he had broken ribs, and I commend him, not saying he's not a tough guy, but still, however you place it, his receptions and his numbers weren't occurring and wasn't helping to stem the tide when his team needed it, and when you combine it with the fact that my man's 1,100 yards, 11 yards per catch, 7 touchdowns, that's not a top 8 player in the league. It's not a top 8 player. And you told me by who's number 1 on your list that it was a list from last year. It was the best, because there's no way in hell that anyone thinks that Lamar Jackson is the best player in football.
Well, right?
It's a list from last year. There's no way in hell it's a top 10 receiver.
They're documenting the improvement from last year for a ton of different players, and so it's definitely a year-to-year list. And I agree with your overall point of DeAndre Hopkins is not a top 10 player in this league. I think you'd have a tough time convincing me that a receiver is in the top 10 players in this league.
You take it because of the value?
Yeah, there's so many other players, and you have your outliers like Aaron Donald, who, I mean, he's clearly going to be in your top 10. Christian McCaffrey's got to be in your top 10. I mean, there's a handful of really good football players that, you know, just they're going to be in your top 10. And then you've got a bunch of quarterbacks that touch the football every single snap that are great at what they do, and leaving them outside the top 10 is silly. So I don't know how DeAndre Hopkins snuck into the top 10. I'll agree with you that some of the numbers, particularly the ones against Kansas City, were, if he did have broken ribs in the second half, that's there was a couple of big catches in the second half after the game was out of reach. But nonetheless, he's not a top 10 player in this league.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Tyler, I need you to come in with this because Clint, He had such a nice gesture. He came in today, folks, and I know Clint is he's so humble. He doesn't want anybody to know that he does such nice things for people. But he came in and he hooked us all up with a nice, beautiful bottle of some really good tequila. I can tell the bottle looked like it was real expensive. And it looked like it wasn't no cheap tequila like I've drank before.
I take care of my guys, man. I appreciate the people around me, man. When you get good people around you that grind on a certain level, got to show your appreciation.
And it's good,
man,
that you know that. But then he took it. Then he took it to this place, Houston. I sent the picture of the bottle to my wife, and she instantly got excited. She goes, "Ooh, we can make some real good margaritas with this." She was like, "We've got these strawberry, made with real strawberry popsicles," and she wanted to go ahead and mix them puppies up and make a real good margarita. And then Clint said, "No, don't let her do that.
Mrs. Show cannot throw strawberries into a tequila that good."
Well, it's bad enough that you're going to take a high-end Reposado tequila and you're going to mix anything other than maybe a couple of wedges of lime. And then I'll let you get away with a splash of soda if it's early in the evening. But if not, it got to be straight sipping. You're going to put a strawberry pop with it. You're going to put a frozen popsicle. Strawberry popsicle in it. No, come sir. On, Courtney.
But hold on, Clint. This is the thing. Listen, I don't think I was going to allow it. Let me change that. let me back that up.
Back up, Chief.
I think I may have argued against it. But
against it.
Like I'm from Canada with that real quick. Well, hold on, Doug. You giving, like, I feel like you're out of line here. You can't give a gift and tell us how to use it. You can't, hold on, Tyler, I'm off on it. You can't buy a gift and then tell us how to use it.
Maybe
you never buy us a bottle of tequila ever again. What you find
it was just a strong recommendation, fellas. That's all.
It was a strong. You said, I mean, that, no, don't you let her do that.
Don't you? Yeah. Well, I mean, that was golly. I mean, that's like
a punch in the face. He was mad.
Like what you're talking. That's like the equivalent of like, I mean, just throwing some old juice together with some rum or some vodka or something back in the day at the damn frat party or something. Like, you fixing to mix it with a popsicle?
You can't do that.
No.
I mean, Clint's out here giving gifts and then telling you what you do.
If you're going to do that. I told Show, I said, if you're going to do that, do me a favor.
Just give it back.
You got that nice decanter with that. You can start, number one, you got two options. One, give it back. Don't you do that. Number two, you got that nice decanter at the house.
It is nice.
Pour that Reposado, that Casamigos Reposado in there, and then fill that bottle up with just like some old plastic bottle, cheap tequila from the store, and let her mix it up. She'll never know the difference. She'll be like, oh, tell Clint, I said thank you.
713 from the text line, he ain't wrong, show respect the, what's it called? Reposado?
No, Reposado.
Oh, Reposado.
Despacito, is that what you said?
Despacito, man, you know I ain't good with words, man. Just like my uncle.
About to start singing Bieber in here.
I'm just telling you, you've noticed it. My grandpa, I come by it honestly. There was a family. They were called the Knights. That was their last name, the Knight family.
Like it was really their name,
Knight,
or y'all nickname?
No, it was their name. Knight, Knight. My grandpa always called them the Knives.
The Knives?
Yeah, the Knife family. It's just a knife. Come on up, forever. Like he can't. It's Knight. Nope, Knife. Come up. I come by honestly. I'm going to blow some words, all right? That's how I do it here. All right, coming up, the big three at three, the stories you need to know, Houston and baseball. They're in trouble, man. We'll get into that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.